Revelation 1:8.
Welcome to On to Perfection, the radio ministry of Resurrection Life Family Worship Center. I'm Trevor Banks, and I'm glad you've joined us for today's broadcast, and I trust you'll be blessed by the message.
Elijah, being the man of God that he was and having the discernment and understanding and discerning the times of the shift, he said, go tell King Ahab, get to Jezreel, for I hear. All he saw was a little cloud, but I hear something. Amen. Come on, see, if you're a man or woman of the Spirit, it don't take the rain, it don't take the drops falling on you before you start to understand. You discern the times. Because see, when things have shifted, you know everything's about to change. Come on, you can start making your boast in the Lord. You can start decreeing some things according to the word and the will and the purpose of God. You can start saying those things because you have sensed the shift. When he says, he said, tell Ahab to get to Jezreel because I hear the sound of abundance of rain. Time he got in that chariot, rain, a black cloud formed quickly, and it started to storm. Hadn't rained in 3.5 years. Elisha, sitting up with his elders, Ahab, sent messengers to kill him. He heard them coming. Don't you just love prophets and the prophetic? And you know what? The testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. So that makes you prophetic. It don't make you a prophet, but you are prophetic. Amen. The Holy Spirit will show you of things to come. When he come, he will bear witness. He won't testify of himself, and he'll bring things to your remembrance, and he will show you of things to come. Hello? But first you have to acquaint yourself. That's where it starts. Acquaint yourself with him. Elisha heard him, and he said, when he said, hold him at the door, don't let him in. And then he released a decree. He released a prophetic word. He said, by this time tomorrow. Come on, somebody say that. By this time tomorrow. Come on, I want you to make that decree in your life. By this time tomorrow. Come on, say it again. By this time tomorrow. Come on, say it one more time. By this time tomorrow. Now get rid of doubt, get rid of unbelief, get rid of fear, get rid of all this stuff. Say, by this time tomorrow. He said there's going to be plenty in Jerusalem. Such and such will be sold for this amount, and that'll be sold for this amount. The king's right-hand man said, how shall these things be? I want to show you this. If God were to open the heaven, that's the only way this could happen. Elisha told him, he said, yes, because you don't believe. You will see it, but you'll not partake of it. Let us not fall after the same example of unbelief as the Israelites. They were an example for us not to do some of the things that they did. Amen. Not to fall at the same example of unbelief. Now, my point is this. See, when Jeremiah spoke the word of the Lord, God stirred up Cyrus. When Elisha spoke the word of the Lord, there were the lepers that were sitting outside the city gate with no hope. That word went over and stirred up the lepers. Come on, see, you got to understand, when you are speaking things, when you are making decrees according to God's word, you don't know who's getting stirred up. You don't know where God is moving. But you rest assured, God is moving somewhere. This word won't return unto him void. It's moving somewhere. It may be a little while. It may be in a moment. It may be tomorrow. But God is moving somewhere. Elisha said, by this time tomorrow, them lepers said, why are we sitting here dying? They got up and went to pacing. Why? That word was released. They got up and went to pacing. You know what? If we go into the city, we're going to die. They'll kill us. Ain't nothing to eat there. If we go into the Syrian camp, we're going to die there. But you know what? At least they got food there. How about we just bust us a move? How about we do something? Listen, we ain't got much hope anyway. But listen, let's go. They didn't know they were being stirred up by a word of God that had been released into the atmosphere. That two-edged sword. Can you imagine? No, this is just four of you. Four of us. Okay, we're lepers. Okay, we got five. Okay, y'all be the four. I've never seen that program, The Walking Dead, but I've seen some commercials. Now, the Syrian camp is this way, gentlemen. So face this way. I just want you to kind of give them an idea of what the lepers might have looked like. Walking toward the Syrian camp. Okay, put on your best. Now they said, why sit we here and die? But see, a word got them up. Come on, y'all can do better than that now. Come on, go. Come on, a little more acting right here, a little more acting. Now, I know the lepers wasn't this clean, but you know. All right, gentlemen, y'all can sit down. In other words, they were struggling. They got up from this. You know, leprosy, they could watch while a finger would fall off, an ear would fall off, a nose would fall off, a toe, a foot. So they're walking. Why sit we here and die? But see, even in that condition, that word had power to stir it up. Stir them up. God said, I'm going to choose this weak and beggarly element to bring deliverance. So it don't matter what condition you might be facing, how the opposition is, how difficult it may seem or impossible it may look, all God has to do is say a word. When God releases the word and you release the word. Come on, we are laborers with God. We say what he says. And at that time of the shift, something is released into the atmosphere because God says it's time now. One thing that we have to understand, we must be able to discern and recognize the kairos, the time of the time where what has to happen will happen. And being people of the Spirit, we recognize times and seasons. Like Issachar, they understood times. We don't always understand, but there are times you need to. It's imperative that you know God has shifted you. He's taken you out of that, and he's put you over in here. Sometimes you have to curb your behavior. Sometimes you can't be as friendly. You understand? Now there's a greater demand and responsibility and assignment on you. Not that you get unfriendly. You just get more focused. Amen. You realize the task is great. The assignment is great. God is making a greater demand on my life. You still love everybody. You're not getting uppity. You're not getting arrogant. It's just that now I got the focus now. God done took some more of me. Hello? Amen. He's demanding more of me. You get up earlier. You stay up later in order to acquaint yourself. We know him, but we want to know him better. He knows us, but we want him to have more access. Hello. You guys did a good job as the lepers. Like I said, they're the cleanest lepers I've ever seen. Ecclesiastes 8:5, whoso keepeth the commandment shall feel no evil thing. And a wise man's heart discerns both time and judgment. Because to every purpose there is a time and judgment. Therefore the misery of man is great upon him. Isaiah was another one who made a decree about Cyrus, king of the Persians. And well, let me show you. In verse 8 of Isaiah 45, the word says, drop down, ye heavens, from above, and let the skies pour down righteousness. Let the earth open, and let them bring forth salvation, and let righteousness spring up together. I, the Lord, have created it. It says, let the skies pour down righteousness, let them bring forth salvation. Drop down, ye heavens, from above, and let the skies pour down righteousness. What we're looking at in that verse is an opened heaven. When there's an opened heaven, the earth will open. Amen. When the heaven is open, the earth will open. Now, an open heaven is a sign all the time in the scriptures of God's blessing and favor. Amen. When we talk about living under an open heaven, when it talks about tithing in Malachi, it says, I'll open up a window of heaven and pour you out a blessing. So open heaven is always a symbol, a type of God's blessing and favor. When the heavens are open, the earth opens as well. In other words, when the heaven opens, earth is going to respond. Or when the earth opens, heaven responds. Amen? Now go with me quickly to Deuteronomy. I want to build on something before we close. Deuteronomy chapter 28. When we talk about the heavens, and I know the analogy here is it will drop down its rain. Now, to a farmer or to someone in agriculture, that meant a lot. You know, the rain coming and the crops growing and, you know, all of that was necessary, and that was God's favor. We talk about an open heaven now, even though that was the type, that was the example used. When we talk about open heaven, we're talking about the treasure trove of God, the heavens, not something way up there, not the clouds, not this third heaven or this first heaven, but the heaven where we have already been blessed. Ephesians 1 and 3, for God hath already blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly realm or in the heavenly place. In other words, there's blessing that God has already given to us. Amen. Amen? Now we play or we have a part in bringing that blessing into manifestation. One of the parts is obedience. Amen. Amen. Many things that God says are based upon condition. Now, we're saved, and, you know, people that are saved are going to be saved, but, you know, you can be saved and still have a whole lot of drama and struggle in your life that God didn't intend because of your disobedience. Amen. Amen. Wrong relationships, fooling around, playing around, doing stuff you know you shouldn't do. That's contrary to the Lord. God still loves you. He's still going to give you some grace, but your life is going to be hell. Hello? Sometimes saints are sick due to things like that. Sometimes things aren't working out. You're broke, busted, and disgusted because of things like that. Not all the time, but I'm just saying, if obedience isn't a primary priority on our list of priorities, then you are very unlikely to really experience God's best for your life. Because, you know, in the Old Testament, when they came out of Egypt, their unbelief, if you look at that word, they died because of unbelief. The word is disobedience. So the two are synonymous. Unbelief, disobedience.
We have come to the close of part 6 of Transformation, the Decree of Destiny. Zechariah 8, verses 12 and 13 states, "For the seed shall be prosperous, the vine shall give her fruit, and the ground shall give her increase, and the heavens shall give her their due. And I will cause the remnant of this people to possess all these things. And it shall come to pass that as ye were a curse among the heathen, O house of Judah and house of Israel, so will I save you, and ye will be a blessing. Fear not, but let your hands be strong." You have a promise, and the time for fulfillment is here.
This is Trevor Banks again, and I'd like to invite you to visit us this weekend at Resurrection Life Family Worship Center. Our service times are 11 a.m. Sunday morning and 7 p.m. Sunday night. Come and join us for great music, anointed preaching, and warm fellowship. We're located just off US 1 at 405 Exoria Avenue in beautiful Fort Pierce, Florida.
Thank you for listening to today's message. And for more information or more messages from On to Perfection, call toll free 1-877-TR-BANKS. Or visit our website at trbanks.com. And always remember, God will perfect that which concerns you.